I think God rewards faithfulness. And I praise the Lord for people that are faithful. Wouldn't you hate to have a tooth that wasn't faithful? Just one tooth. That wouldn't be good. Or a foot. I've got a little foot problem right now. Every now and then my foot is not faithful. The Lord shouldn't have to put up with unfaithful people. Amen? Yeah, what is the verse? My mind is not as strong tonight because of my illness, but the Bible says that it's expected in a steward that a man be found faithful. And so thank you for being faithful. There is a reward in eternity for faithfulness, and there's a reward here for faithfulness. Amen? It's interesting to me how sometimes people don't think they need God. That's what it comes down to, isn't it? I don't need God. I don't need to be in church. I don't need to pray. I don't need to be faithful. And then all of a sudden, when things come along, they realize they do need God. That's exactly what's happening here in Judges chapter 20. These people have been ignoring God. They have been literally, every man does that which is right in his own eyes, and I'm a little loud, Mike. Can you turn me down just a little bit? maybe it's just my ears. But these people have not been faithful to God. They've been doing what they want to do. And it's starting to get bad. It's been getting bad. It's been bad. The whole book of Judges is bad. But now they're fighting amongst each other. And watch this now. Remember the concubine and the Levite and how the Levite, the concubine was put outside and the men killed her, basically. And just the same situation as we had back in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's how bad it's gotten. And so that was the tribe of Benjamin where that took place. And so the other 10 or 11 tribes of Israel, the other 11 tribes, they all get together and they said, we want these wicked men. They need to be punished. And Benjamin said, no, we're going to defend them. And so the numbers, I'm always interested in numbers. The numbers are interesting. And let me see if I can read you a few of those here. In Judges chapter 20, in verse 15, the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities 26,000 men that drew sword, beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were 700. And those fellows were really good with a sling. So 26,700 from Benjamin, but look at verse 17 in Judges chapter 20 and verse 17. The men of Israel, beside Benjamin, not counting Benjamin, were numbered 400,000 men. All right, so let's just make the math easy. You got 400,000 with the 11 tribes, and then you have about 1/8, about 20, a little over 25,000, about 1/8 that many in Benjamin. And we're going to go to war. Who's going to win? I mean, all of us would say, conventional wisdom would say, Benjamin hasn't got a chance. Israel, we'll call them the 11 tribes other than Benjamin, Israel is saying to themselves, this is going to be a pushover. We've got them outnumbered 8-1. I took some classes in military science back in college, and they say that for a defensive position, you'd like to have a 3-1 advantage, and for an offensive operation, you'd like to have a 6-1 advantage. But if you've got a 9-1 advantage, it's called the principle of superiority of force in a military operation. If you have superiority of force, that's how you win battles. And so Israel says, we're there eight times more of us than we are of them. We're going to win. Not without God. Now, Rob Sisko preached out of this passage back when he was with us a while back. And I was very interested in his approach. But he did not tell you about something that I've already mentioned to you. And that is the backdrop or the setting for this battle is the disobedience of Israel and their lack of faithfulness to God and their lack of trust in God. And those things go hand in hand. You know, we trust God because of who He is, but we're faithful to Him because of who He is. And so when you're not faithful to God, what you're saying is, I don't need him that much. I don't trust him that much. I trust myself. Now, I this is such a long passage, and we just can't take the time to read every single verse, but I'll read you some bits and pieces of it. But here's what you're going to see. On the first day, Israel goes out to the battle, and they are outnumbering the enemy 8-1. And they think they got it made, and they get licked. They come back the second day, and now they're a little more apprehensive. And they go out to battle, but they're still outnumbering the enemy. Now it's about 7-1, and they get licked. Okay, finally now, they come before the Lord, and they weep. And they say, hey, Lord, we need you. That's when they finally won the battle. Folks, we're going to win the battle because we know we need the Lord, not because of who we are. Amen? And any battle, any struggle, any situation, it's not us, it's the Lord. Somebody says, I don't need the Lord. You are wrong. Somebody says, I can take care of myself. You are wrong. And that's what we see here in this passage. So let me ask you to just remain seated. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and I'm just going to jump around a little bit and try to show you a few things on these 3 days of battle. And we will try to be about 20 minutes here and be done if we can. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, we acknowledge, first of all, that we don't deserve your blessings. We don't deserve your favor, but we need it. We depend upon it absolutely. You said you are the vine, we are the branches, and without you, we can do nothing. Lord, I pray tonight that as we look at this passage, we understand that Israel is faced with a situation where they think they have easy victory, but they learn otherwise. Sometimes we might think the victory is going to be easy just because of the circumstances, but Lord, unless you're in it, the circumstances don't matter. I pray that you'd bless us tonight in our service. I pray you'd be with folks that are not here tonight. I pray that you'd give our people a burden to need you and to be faithful to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at a couple of things here. First of all, back up. Let's just start in verse 18. I've given you the circumstances. In verse 14, Benjamin says, no, we're not going to give you those wicked men. We're going to fight against you. So in verse 15, they're numbered 26,700. In verse 17, Israel's numbered 400,000. Now here we go. In verse 18 of Judges chapter 20, the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God, and they asked counsel of God. And they said, now listen to this question carefully here. Which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. And so they arose in verse 19, they encamped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out against Benjamin, and the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day, that's day one, 22,000 men. So, at the end of the first day, you might ask yourself, well, what happened? And I ask myself that question, and I think it's fair to do. I'm thinking to myself, maybe they didn't ask the right question. Maybe they didn't ask the right question. Have we ever made our mind up what we want to do and then go to God for approval? Right? I know what I want to do. Surely God wants this too. And so I think what I'll do is just... I know this has got to be God's will. You never prayed and asked God if it was His will. You never did find this in the Bible. God never showed it to you. You just decided on your own, this is what I think I ought to do. And now, God, we'd like for you to bless it. And I'm careful with the way that I personify the Lord. You need to be. But there are some times when the Lord deals with us just about the way we deserve to be dealt with. And He says, okay, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Go to battle. And Judah can go up first. That's good. I think they asked the wrong question. In the first place, I think they need to remember something, and I should have said this before, and I'll remind you now and maybe when I close, but Israel, the 11 tribes, has the same problem that God has. And what do I mean by that? They have a tribe that's disobedient, Benjamin. What are we going to do with these guys? They won't obey. What are we going to do with them? And what was Israel's decision? Let's just destroy them. And they continue that on that vein into the next chapter where they decide not to even let anybody marry people from Benjamin. We're going to wipe these guys out. They have the same problem God has, and that is the sense that God has a problem with Israel's disobedience. God's choice was not to wipe Israel out. I don't think it's a safe assumption that God wanted Israel to destroy Benjamin. That was Israel's assumption. I think they asked the wrong question. Lord, who should go up first? Maybe a better question would have been something like this. What shall we do? Amen? I think we could remember that. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Who said that? Remember? Paul? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Acknowledging who the Lord was and saying, Lord, what do you want? I think that's a good prayer. And you and I should keep that prayer in our life. Not just, I've decided what to do now. Lord, how do you want it done or bless it or whatever. I think they asked the wrong question. They knew what they wanted to do. They didn't really care what God thought. But they did come before God to kind of put things in order, maybe. They didn't ask him how. We need to be asking God how to do things, what he wants us to do. And we need to be ready for God to change our direction. The question shouldn't have been who, it should have been what. So the end of the first day, they are stunned by their defeat. 22,000 men step into eternity. And you say, that's a terrible thing. God knows. God knows those men. And you know, to be absent from the body, in our case, is present with the Lord. A little different back then. But anyway, these men have stepped into eternity. So now, in verse 22, the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves. So they were thinking, well, this will go better tomorrow. And set their battle again in array in the place where they pit themselves in the first day. And they went up and they wept before the Lord until even. And they asked, now this, listen, the questions change now. They asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? And the Lord said, go up against him. And the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day. I'm in verse 25. Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel again 18,000 men, all these that drew the sword. Now 40,000 men have died. That's 10% of Israel's army. And now there are 360,000 of them left. What happened that day? Well, I still think there's a question of trust. And finally, you'll see that their attitude has changed. You know, sometimes God needs to thin us out a little bit to get us to be humble, doesn't he? You ever wonder why God hasn't given you just everything and met all your needs? And he does meet our needs, though. He's wonderful, isn't he? But sometimes it is good to fail. Because now we learn we need God. Amen? Sometimes it's good to suffer. Sometimes it's good to go without and good to recognize our need. And it's not that God doesn't want to meet our needs or that he's just stingy or whatever, but God knows that we need to go through seasons like that. And they needed to, and their heart is being changed. Those seasons of leanness bring us to the point where we recognize our need for God. And you wonder sometimes how to pray for somebody. You might pray for somebody who's being unfaithful. Lord, perhaps they could use a little bit of leanness to realize they need you. And Israel is about to wake up. And now look at their change of heart in verse 26. They started out in verse 18. They said, which one should go up first? And then they got a little more serious in verse 23 and they wept a little and they said, should we do this again? Now in verse 26, look at this. Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came unto the house of God. Now, I don't see that necessarily in those first two instances, but now they are going to find out where God is. They came up to the house of God and they wept and they sat there before the Lord and they fasted that day until even and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Don't you see a change of heart? Now, could God have given them the victory on the first day? Of course. Could he have given them the victory on the second day? Of course. Was it best that he didn't? Obviously. He needs to get our heart. And so the fact is that through this leanness and this defeat, now Israel realizes they need God. It's okay. If it takes that for God to get my attention, Lord, send that. Amen? Whatever it might be. So now they inquire of the Lord in verse 27. The Ark of the Covenant was there. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days. And now here's their prayer. Shall I yet go again out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thine hand. And now they've got a promise. Do we have any promises? You know how you know what promises you got? It's when you get desperate. Maybe that's not the right word to use. You get convicted or you get afflicted or you realize your need for God and you get in the Word of God and start to look what God says. And in the Word of God, God gives you those promises. And now God says, now I'm going to give you the victory. Now, I'm not going to read any further than that for right now. We're going to stop right there. We'll look at this some more next week. But let me just toss a couple of things out. Maybe they didn't ask that right question. Maybe they should have said, what should we do? I think that's the right case. Maybe they were trusting in themselves. Oh, yeah, they were. They needed to be trusting in God. Maybe their goal wasn't the Lord's goal. I just remind you what's going to come next week, and we'll look at this a little bit later. They almost entirely annihilate Benjamin. When you get down to the end of the chapter, almost all but a few hundred of the men are destroyed. And then in verse 48, they keep on going. They burn the cities. They kill the animals. They're out to destroy Benjamin for this wickedness. And in the very last chapter in Judges, and God knows exactly what he's doing here. I've asked myself before, why does it end this way? I can see clearly why Judges ends this way. Because Israel finally realizes in regard to Benjamin, wait a minute, what are we doing? This isn't the right way to handle this. And then miraculously, God does some things to spare the existence of Benjamin. Sometimes you and I, when we look at other people and look at their sin, we say, judge them. That person deserves to be judged. This person's not faithful, God, you should judge them. This person is not doing what's right, God, you should judge them. This person over here is being carnal, you should judge them. And we don't realize God should judge us. Amen? And mercy is what these people need. What they need is a new heart. And God is working in Israel to give them a different heart. And the solution to that problem is they need a king. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way the whole book ends. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Aren't you glad you got a king? And don't make the mistake these people made, trusting in themselves, not thinking they need God, and finding out you can outnumber the enemy 10-1 or 8-1 or whatever, unless God's in it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Amen?